So folks, we've just done a very simple thing there, if you like, a picture of what happened through that that week leading up to the death of Jesus. And what I want to do now, just for a short time, is to speak a wee bit about the relevance of the resurrection. There are four simple and quite brief things, really, that I want to say this morning as to the relevance of this message for each and every one here today and each and every person who takes seriously the message of the Lord Jesus. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, it says that Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins, and he was raised to life for our justification. A preacher once famously said something like this. He said, you know, that the real truth of the matter is that Jesus did not just come to preach the gospel. His chief object in coming was that there would be a gospel to preach. And how true that is. And the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us an assurance that whenever Jesus died and was dead and buried, but when he rose again on the third day, that what he actually had come to do had been done. Like, think about it this way, it's so obvious, it's almost not worth saying. But if the message that we were proclaiming was that Jesus was a great man and he did wonderful things and he died on a cross because he loved people so much, if that was our message, good as it may be, as far as it goes, it wouldn't really be something that would change people's lives. Because the proof, if you like, that what happened on the cross in Calvary was of enormous significance is that on the third day he rose again. John Stott famously said, we're not to think of the cross as a defeat and the resurrection as the victory, but rather the cross is the victory won and the resurrection is that victory proclaimed and endorsed and demonstrated. I know that some of the young folk, and indeed older folk as well, maybe now and again enjoy going on to YouTube, and you can get all sorts of things there, good, bad and ugly. But one of the lovely things that you can see, and maybe some of the younger folk, you can do this. There's a lovely song by Tim Hughes entitled The Greatest Day in History. And there's a lovely little clip that has been put together about that song, which is really wonderful and really heart-lifting. The greatest day in history. Oh, happy day, you washed my sins away. And folks, the relevance of the resurrection is simply this, that because he lives, as we trust him, we have the assurance that our sins have been washed away, that we have been made right with God, and that we are children of God. So we have an assurance. Power. Here's something else that the resurrection brings. You know, power in this world can be a thing that's used and abused. And over this past week, the things that have been hitting the headlines over the last few weeks is, if you like, the use of power in a way that maybe hasn't been so good. You know, the world has the power to go onto a plane and drag somebody off against their will. The world has the power to gas little children. The world has the power to fire missiles into a particular place. But the power that we're talking about here is not that kind of power. The power that we're talking about in the gospel is the power to change the human heart. Let me ask you a question. How are people to be changed? If you go into a local bookshop in some of the bigger towns, you will find whole shelves full of self-help manuals on how to change and how to be a better person and all the rest of it. And I'm sure there probably is some wisdom in those things. But ultimately, those human self-helps are like somebody trying to pull themselves up by the laces of their own shoes. It doesn't really work in the long term. What has the power to change a human heart? Colossians 3:1, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Earlier I quoted the words of a lovely hymn that was in the prayer, and in fact the choir will be singing this lovely hymn later on this evening. Our Lord Christ has risen, the tempter is spoiled, his legions are scattered, and his strongholds are spoiled. One of the verses says this: O sin, you are vanquished, your long reign is o'er, though still you do vex us, we dread you no more. Folks, in Jesus Christ, there is the power to change a human heart. I wonder if I was to ask you this morning, and of course it's not the sort of thing that you would ever dream of sharing, even with those close to you. What are the things in your life that grip you? What is your weak spot? What are the things that you struggle with, even as a Christian believer? And how are you going to deal with those things? What is there that will have the power to change you into a different type of man, into a different type of a woman? I tell you what it is. It is the power of the Christian gospel and the power of the message of Christ crucified and risen. The Apostle Paul was moved on an occasion to say this about the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So are you here this morning and maybe as a believer you're struggling with a particular thing, a particular issue? Bring it to Christ. Bring it back to the cross. Bring it and claim the victory that you have. Because if you are genuinely in Christ, then as he is raised, you are raised also, and sin is put to death within your heart. Christians ought to be different. And I know that on many occasions, we are not so different from the world. Shame upon us. But let us, by the grace of God, claim the power of the resurrection. And let us walk in the victory that we have in Jesus. The third thing I would mention is hope. This weekend, in some of the, if you like, the big newspapers, there's so much news that is slightly disturbing and troubling. Like it is, what's this? The line of that song, I can't quite believe the news today. And over the last few days, to hear of a country saying we will fire a nuclear missile into South Korea, into a city with millions of people, I couldn't quite believe my ears. There's all sorts of stuff going on in our world that really is pretty frightening. You think of the situation over in the China Sea, the whole situation with China, North Korea, and the United States of America. You think of the situation, the cauldron in the Middle East, in Syria, and all of that. There is so much uncertainty in our world today. And there are many people I know, even in reading yesterday's paper, there are many columnists who are really quite pessimistic and even slightly fearful about what is around the corner. But let me not be a prophet of doom and gloom this morning, because that's the very opposite of what I want to be. My point is this: the world may fear and the world may indeed despair about what's going to happen, but we have a reason to hope. Why? Because Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Recently, we were praying as a church for the Reasons for Hope 2017, which had been organized by Christian unions through Ireland. And Dr. William Lane Craig and Professor John Lennox spoke in different venues, in Belfast and in Dublin and in Cork, to very large crowds of people, it has to be said, because people are searching. And what a privilege it is to be able to proclaim the hope of the Christian message into the midst of this uncertain world. Folks, those words in front of you, 1 Peter 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. A living hope. Folks, I could spend time, as the preacher could, developing that we live in an uncertain world where there's a lot of hopelessness. And maybe more to the point, you're here this morning and you're maybe going through a particular personal trial, maybe to do with sickness or some other problem. And, well, here's the hope of the gospel. Allow me to remind you of this story, and you have heard me tell this story before, but I love this story. And maybe it's out of deference to the person that it's about, because I believe he was a great man. William Sangster was the minister of Westminster Methodist Central Hall, and at a certain point in his life, he became unwell, and he became very unwell. And he knew he was going to die. But I do love the story of how William Sangster, back, I think it was in the 50s, he sat on an Easter morning, literally on an Easter morning, and he took out a pen and a piece of paper, because he could no longer speak. And he wrote these words to his daughter. He said, "It is terrible to wake up on Easter morning and not be able to shout, 'He is risen.' But how much more terrible to wake up on Easter morning and have a voice and not want to shout, 'He is risen.'" And a few weeks later, William Sangster died and went to glory. Folks, that is the hope that the Easter message brings. That, if you like, is the fire that it puts into somebody's belly in the midst of the storms of life. That is the spring that it puts into someone's step in the midst of the ups and downs of life. And folks, if we do not portray that reality and that resurrection truth to an unbelieving world, then our witness is lost and trampled in the ground. If we are not people of hope, if we are not the people who can say, even in the midst of death itself, Christ is risen. One day I will go to be with him. Then we are, according to the Apostle Paul, of all people to be pitied. We are people of hope. We are resurrection people. We are Easter people. And here's the last thing, and I suspect the time has gone. My watch conveniently has been left over there. I suspect it is near 1:30. I'm looking to one of my elders, but he's such a good elder, he's not even saying anything. He's just saying, "Preach on, brother." Here is the last thing that I want to say. That not only does this message give us these different things that we're speaking about, the hope and the power and the assurance. But it gives us an inspiration. It gives us a motivation. Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples. And you know, whether, and you'll see this in the bulletin, and allow me to use this illustration, if you will, slightly personal though it may be, but whether it's Philip and Andrew who are planning from the 24th to the 30th of April to have a mission in and around Nacasangola, where they will preach the gospel along with two other African men to the people whom they have invited through the 2,000 invitations that they have distributed. Whether it is those boys in Uganda, or whether it is us here in the Kingdom of Mourn, we are called to proclaim the message. Whether it is Philip and Andrew in Uganda, us here in Mourn, Karen and Rhonda in Westport, this is what we preach. And I love the words of that hymn, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. And you say to me, "Stephen, I'm not much of a preacher. I can't stand at the front. Sometimes, Stephen, people ask me questions that I can't really answer." Well, that's fine. Don't worry about that. People could ask all of us, myself included, many's a question that we might not be able to answer. But you know what? We will be able to say to them, like one of old, "I do not know the answer to that question, but one thing I do know, once I was blind, but now I see, and Jesus Christ has changed my life." Folks, let me say to you, this is my final word on this resurrection morning. Let us go out into this community. Let us go wherever the Lord leads us. And through our lives, and through what we say and are, that we proclaim that Christ is risen. That's our message. Not religion. Not come to church and pull your socks up. But Christ is risen. He has died for your sins. He has been raised again. And he calls you to repent and believe the gospel. And to follow him. So go. Go. I was almost going to say, "I dismiss you." Go. And after the hymn, we will go. And I trust in the midst of all that this day brings, and all the Easter eggs that have to be eaten, and all the whatever that has to be done, that we will not lose sight of the glory of the resurrection, the assurance, the power, the hope, and the inspiration that it brings.